Welcome to SC Church Podcast. We are so glad you could join us. Today, we get to hear from Senior Pastor Denny Duran. Let's listen close as he shares his message, The Upward Call.
I want to speak to you today on the subject of the upward call. The upward call. And then right underneath that is this title, a warning and an encouragement. The upward call, a warning and an encouragement. Hallelujah. Right now I'm going to ask you just to get your heart, your mind centered on receiving. I want you to let down all of those barriers that you might have, any apprehension that has developed because of maybe things you've been through this week. Maybe you've gotten some bad news. I want you to let that go for a few minutes, because I believe that the Lord wants to challenge you. I believe that He has a warning for you, and in that warning, I believe there's great, great encouragement. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will speak to your people. And I pray, oh God, that all over this place, that there will be those that will respond to what you have to say right now. Lord, we understand this is a crucial moment in human history. We also know that we are closer right now to your return than we have ever been in all of history. Lord, just to think that we could just be weeks, months, maybe just a few years away from your return, it's just overwhelming. And I pray, oh God, that we will be a people tuned in to you and to what the Spirit of God is saying to us, to every warning of the Holy Spirit, who only wants the best for us, to a God who only wants heaven for us. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray, oh Lord, that your church will be made ready for your soon return. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Alex. That was so much better because you came. I love you. Praise God. Amen. In Matthew 24, 29 through 31, there is information that for years, in fact, since it was spoken and recorded and made available for believers, it's been a source of controversy. There's a lot in the Bible, you know, that people argue about or debate because we don't know exactly what it means or what it's referring to. And of course, that was the plan of the Lord all along. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Now, this morning, if I were reading this with just a current understanding of world events and what we have seen over the last few weeks, I may be asking these questions. Ooh, look, does the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light refer to that solar eclipse we just saw? Who is that what it is? And the stars falling from the heaven, Is that an ancient man's vision of 350 missiles falling from the sky to the earth? Oh, that could be the description of what he is saying here. That could be the meaning. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then in Acts 2, verse 19, this is, of course, the message of Peter on that fateful day. And this shows you how well Peter listened to be able to actually quote the words of the Lord. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, do you understand how jaded and used to cataclysmic things we have become in this generation? Do you understand that we have become so conditioned in our minds, probably by the movies we watch, probably by the fact that we get news about every threatening thing that ever happens within milliseconds, probably because we have been through a pandemic, and we have been in a generation where we have seen wars, and we have been threatened by some of the superpowers who now we hear are as equipped as we are with weaponry. Maybe it's all of that that has caused us to be so jaded, to be so used to bad, cataclysmic, apocalyptic news. We just experienced a solar eclipse, an unprecedented attack by Iran on the nation of Israel. And everybody's asking questions. In fact, you came here today asking questions. Some of you weren't going to come to church until Iran bombed. You thought, man, I think I'll go this morning. People are asking questions. Will this be the sign of Christ's return? Will this be the crash of the American and world economy? Will this be Israel's reconciliation to the Messiah or the beginning of it? Will this be the signal of a worldwide revival? This is all we know for sure. We're seeing patterns here, and they are riveting and unusual. But what is God saying to his church? What is God saying to us? What do we know for sure he's saying to us? For it's the church that is asking the real questions. It's only the church that knows enough to ask. And I believe that what God is saying is that it's time for us to hear an upward call. There is an upward call where now we need to get down to business and understand that it's not about everything that's happening around us. That it's not about the temporal. It's not about that which is seen. But that we are in a place as believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, where our eyes need to be upward, and we need to hear an upward call. And first of all, God is saying this to his church. It's time to clean up. 2 Peter 3, 10 and 11 says, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this. What holy and godly lives should you live? You see, the spotlight of everything that is happening in the world is actually being turned on the hearts of believers this morning. It's time for us to clean up. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Listen to this. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. Now, this is not a word to lost people, to people that have never known Jesus. This is a word to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is a word to Shreveport Community Church on Sunday morning. Wake up from your drunken stupor. You're not even awake. You're not even seeing this. Reminds me of the story of the old boy that was being interviewed for a truck driving job. And he was asked, okay, you're rounding, you're topping a hill, and you see that there is another 18-wheeler coming right towards you. You are driving, your partner is asleep. What are you doing? He said, I'm waking Billy up. He said, why are you doing that? He said, because he's never seen a wreck as bad as the one we're about to have. We need to wake up from our drunken stupor, as it is right, and we don't need to go on sinning. The Bible's saying to us, stop your sinning. You know you're sinning. You know that's wrong. Really? You're going to keep doing that, even though you see the world falling apart around you? Even though there are signs and wonders that you don't even understand, that could be the last signals of a world that is about to change forever. Stop your sinning. Clean up. It's time for everyone to clean up. We got to clean up our thoughts. We've got to clean up our actions. We've got to clean up our attitudes. We got to clean up our language. We got to clean up the way that we do business. We've got to clean up everything. We've got to clean out closets. We've got to clean out trunks. We've got to make sure that the secret corners are all swept and clean. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, Church of the Jesus Christ, that we have to clean up. Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, your redemption is drawing nigh. Romans 6:4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. There is a common heresy in the South that's called once saved, always saved. Now, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that. Most people that hold tenaciously to that are trying to defend their lifestyles. You don't hear people that are in love with Jesus, that are walking with God, that are not living in compromise, clinging tenaciously to once saved, always saved. The reason why is because we're in love with the Lord. We're walking with Jesus. Sin becomes offensive to those of us who love the Lord and are walking with Him. But when you're trying to defend the fact that you're living in sin and saying, yeah, but I'm still saved, there's a problem with that. Now you say, but isn't it true, once saved, always saved? Let me just say this. If you genuinely get saved by the power of God and you fall in love with Jesus and you walk with Him and you love Him and you converse with Him and you're in His Word, I promise you, number one, you're never going to backslide. Are you going to do some things that are wrong? Yes. Will you fail? Yes. Does it mean you're perfect? No. Will one sin, when you're really saved, send you straight to hell? No. But what I am going to tell you is this. If you're excusing your life, then you need to go back and check your credentials and make sure that you really know Jesus. Because if you're wanting to sin and wanting to live in compromise and wanting to live in confusion, you probably don't know God at all. Now, I want you to get this truth. Because this sloppy, agape, southern religion is going to send a lot of people to hell. And I'm not going to let it happen on my watch, in Jesus' name. I'm going to at least make sure you get the truth. We are not here because we believe that people walk down an aisle, sign a card, take a church membership, and go out and live like hell. We are here to see people transformed by the power of God. They don't think the same. They don't talk the same. They don't walk the same. They don't feel the same about anything. And what the scripture's saying here is this. It's saying that it's time to wake up. It's time to understand that you were saved just like Jesus was resurrected. Jesus came from death to life to never go back to death again. Hallelujah. Do you understand that that's what it's saying? You see, the fact is, Lazarus got resurrected, but he was going to die again. There was a little daughter that got resurrected named Tabitha, but she was going to die again. But the difference in Jesus' resurrection is that Jesus was resurrected and he was never going to die again. So at that, as our example, this is the truth this morning. When you got resurrected, the day that you stood right here and said, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, you were never supposed to go back to the things of death again. You were never to live like that again. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you something. You can go to hell sitting right here in this sanctuary. Just by you getting confused about what knowing Jesus is. Knowing Jesus is not like going to the fair and getting your hand stamped so that you can go out to your car. I said, I got stamped. And then you can come back in. I got stamped. That's not salvation. Salvation is when you embrace the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, when He is the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life, the darling of your life, when there's nothing in the world that's ever going to replace Him, when your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your lover's never going to replace Jesus, when the opportunity to do something crooked in business is never going to replace Jesus, when you're lying and you're cheating is never going to replace Jesus, when you are going to live for Him, love Him, walk with Him, be with Him. You're going to talk about Him. You're going to push Him. You are going to witness to others about Him because He is all in all. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I tell you this, the apostle goes on to say, and I insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They've lost all sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality. so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. I like that. I didn't know that Jesus had a disciple that was a southerner. I like that. Put off your old self. Man, I like that. That's good preaching, isn't it? Come on. Just walk up to somebody and say, hey, put off your old self. Put it off. I like that. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to put off your old self today? How many of you are ready to clean up? You understand God's saying something. Time to clean up. Every time God visits his people in revival, throughout history, this is what you've got to understand. There are not commonalities across the board. Some revivals are quieter while others are louder. Some revivals are revivals of waiting and soaking in God's presence while others are more demonstrative. But the one commonality that all of them have, listen, is this. Repentance. In every revival of history since the day of Pentecost, repentance is the common element. And it is not just repentance of those that don't know Jesus. It starts with the church. It starts with the church. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the most used passage concerning revival of the people of God. And it says this, if my people. Here's what you have to understand. Even when you are struggling with sin, the Lord does not forsake you. But the Bible says if you continue in your sin, if you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you once again become an enemy of God. But all I can say to you is this. As long as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you're good. And some of you are here and you're not living right, but the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you. Let me tell you something. You're good. Because you can still hear the voice. If you ever wake up on any morning, however, and he is no longer speaking to you about what you're doing, then you better find a church and get to the nearest altar and get on your face and begin to beg Almighty God to please visit you again. Every one of us in this place need to have a fresh fear of God fall on us. We do not take the salvation of our souls for granted. Hallelujah. You see, the fact is, when we begin to see that it's time for us to clean up, we know exactly what God needs to deal with. We know exactly where he needs to work first. We know exactly what we're doing that brings him hurt and wounding and displeasure. Our compromise must be replaced with deep conviction. Here's what happens as we begin to sin. It becomes easier. Let me say it again. It becomes easier. You sin, and when you first, as a believer, begin to involve yourself in that, it's okay. But you're so convicted. You're so convicted because you know the Lord's with you, and that was something that was just out of the ordinary. But then you go back, and it's easier. And then it's easier again. And finally, it becomes part of the fiber of your behavior on a daily basis. It's what you do, and it's what you excuse. We must replace our compromise with fresh conviction. Somebody say amen. We must replace our shallow lust of the flesh with deep love for the Lord. Why do I resist the lust of the flesh? Because I love Him. Because I love Him. We must replace the wasting of our opportunities with the redeeming of time. You know that there are great things that God wants you to accomplish? You know that heaven is not the only thing God has for you? Until heaven, God's got things for you to do. You know that some of you folks out there that have, you know, a little frost on the rooftop like me, you know that you quit too soon? You know that God is still giving you energy and life and good health, and you ought to be doing something for Him? You should be serving Him. Do you know that some of you young people that are just living for the opportunity to retire have got the wrong goal? Your goal shouldn't be to retire with a lot of money in the bank so that you can go and spend most of your time at your lake house or your beach house. Your goal ought to be to retire so that you can give full time to doing something that is going to get people's names in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I believe that God can give us a radical church here. I really do. I believe that God can take us from a comfortable church to a radical church. I believe that God can give us a bunch of people, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, who have their hair on fire, who are filled with the zeal of the Lord and are living every second that they might not waste the opportunities that God has given them. What we've got to do is replace prayerlessness with a new determination to seek His face. We've got to replace irreverence with a fresh fear of the Lord. We've got to replace selfish ambition with a new place of personal surrender. Here's the second upward call. Not only do we need to clean up, we need to stand up. We need to stand up and be counted. Galatians 5:5 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast." Ephesians 6:13 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, Stephen was martyred. And I don't know how many of you have read that message lately, but that young man was brilliant. He had really paid attention to the rabbi when he was being educated in the synagogue, because he knew the complete history of God's people at the beginning to the end. And that's what he did in his message that he was preaching to these people that were Christ haters. He talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He talked about Moses. He talked about David. He just gave them a history lesson, and it was beautiful. And they were okay until Jesus was the happiest ending of all. Jesus was the startling conclusion. And when he, at the end of his speech, looked at them and said, "You murdered Jesus," that didn't sit well. But this young man saw it coming. He was surrounded by violent haters of the Lord Jesus. And yet, he still preached. Yet, he didn't back off. Here he was, surrounded by his enemies. But there was absolutely no fear in him. He was willing to face the fray with absolute courage. He understood this is not a time to back down. This is a time to stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you this right now. There has never been a time in all of human history when the people of God, the church of God, and the word of God has been more attacked openly on every front as today. And it is only one thing that the church is lacking to be able to turn back the tide, and that is the courage to go ahead and take a stand. It's time that we begin to take this word and to say to the world, we believe it cover to cover. We do not believe that Charles Darwin in one lifetime was able to refute the word of God that says that our God created the world and man and all that is in the world in 7 days. You say, you really believe that account? Absolutely. Why do I believe it? It's in the Bible. I'm going to take a stand. I don't care how long you've been to school. I don't care what prestigious university you graduated from. I don't care what books you've read. I happen to know the living God. God personally, he is the creator. And what I can tell you is this: I believe the cover, I believe the word from cover to cover. I believe the Genesis account of what happened. And you say, well, that's radical, that's crazy. I know. It's called taking a stand. I believe a man is a man, a woman is a woman. I believe God created it that way. You say, why do you believe that? Because it's in the Bible. Say, you believe everything that's in the Bible? Yes, everything that's in the Bible. You believe that Noah built a big ark, put animals in it, and sailed over a flood that covered the whole earth? Oh, absolutely. You believe that Jonah got swallowed by a big fish? Absolutely. You believe that Jesus Christ literally opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears? And you believe that he caused paralytics to walk and leap and praise God? Oh, absolutely. You say, how in the world can you believe that? Well, there are two reasons. Number one is because I believe that I've got to take a stand for the word of God, because nothing else makes sense in the world right now. We have chaos, confusion, hate, and strife because nobody is given the answer of answers, because the answer is not us compromising and making everybody feel comfortable. The answer is for us to take a stand for the word of God and say, this is what the book says. You say, Pastor, you said there were two reasons. Yeah, there is another one. And that's because when I was a kid, I experienced the presence of heaven on my life, and my heart was changed. And I was 16 years old. I had an experience just like those disciples had in the upper room. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And since that time, I've had experience after experience after experience with the Lord. It's not hard for me to believe Genesis, because I can tell you this, that the Lord created within me a clean heart, and he renewed a right spirit. It's not hard for me to believe Noah, because there have been so many times when my world has been flooded with doubt and concern and strife and pain, and I've always stepped into that ark of Zion, and I've been able to sail safely over all of those floods. There's not anything in me that has trouble believing in Jonah, because I can tell you there have been a lot of times when I've gotten out of line and the Lord has had to send something to swallow me up and spit me in the right direction. It's not hard for me to believe that Jesus opened blind eyes. Mine have been blind many, many times. And every time he's touched me, he's caused me to be able to see clearly. I've seen many times when he opened my ears so that I could hear the truth that set people free. There have been many times when I couldn't walk straight, but he touched me, hallelujah, and I was able to get back on the straight and narrow. You see, I've experienced him for myself. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to stand up. We got to stand up. It's the upward call. Now, I'm sorry. It's been a while since I preached. So I decided to clear me a space out here and enjoy myself. Here's the third upward call. We are called to clean up, thank God. We're called to stand up. And we're called to lift up. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up. Because that's not the norm, is it? We see all these things coming to pass, and we're going, oh, man. What if we have a war? Those Iranians are crazy. There's no telling what they do. They got sleeper cells here? All those people came with a border. No. It says this. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Walk confidently. Lift up your head. Because this is about you. This is about your redemption. All of these things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, you're going to be with me. And you're going to be fine. Lift up your head. It's about lifting up. When you see, lift up your head. When you see, lift up your head. Isn't it interesting that the Lord delayed his coming until the whole world could have the technology that they could see? Isn't that fascinating? The whole world has the technology to see now. I've been doing work with African countries, and it's interesting right now that those African countries are just flooded with cell phones. I was in Cuba, and you think, well, Cuba doesn't have access to anything. There was a spot in Havana, and there was also a spot in the other little village that I was in that is just crowded with young people. And yet there's no apparent reason why they're there. Like no ice cream shop or, and I said, what in the world? And they said, oh, this is where the Wi-Fi is. Kids in Cuba have the power to see. Today in Africa, they know about Iran bombing Israel. Today in Cuba, they know about Iran bombing Israel. And our God is such a God of justice, so generous, that he said, I'm going to wait until everybody can see so that everybody will understand when their redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to lift up our heads. Because as the scripture says, and I love this, we are now closer than when we believed. It almost sounds like, you know, I've watched this Netflix special on Yogi Berra. It's one of the, not Yogi Bear, Yogi Berra. It's one of the favorite things I have ever watched in my life because it chronicles the life of this old veteran baseball player, Yogi Berra, who was the catcher for the New York Yankees. And I've been a Yankees fan, honestly, since I was born into the world because my dad was. And so we were just Yankee fans together, you know? And Yogi Berra, I grew up just watching Yogi Berra play baseball and seeing his name. And Yogi Berra was famous for sayings as well as his great baseball playing. And so, I mean, he had some Yogi-isms, which some of you know. It ain't over till it's over and it ain't over yet. That's him. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's one of the Yogi Berra's. You know what? I'm worried about y'all that nobody laughed at that. Because so, well, it made sense to me. That's kind of what we have here in the scripture. when the scripture says, and you could come, Alex. The scripture says, we are now closer to the return of Christ than when we believed. I mean, you just hear that and you go, yeah. We are closer to the return of Christ than when we believed. And you're closer to the return of Christ, listen, than you were when you used to believe it with all your heart. And that's why it makes no sense for you to be cold in your heart when you are closer to the return of Christ than you've ever been. You say, yeah, but I've been hearing that since I was a kid. Okay? And how old are you? See, the fact is, Jesus even told us what the arguments against his coming were going to be. People are going to say, he says, the word says, where is the promise of his coming? Because since our fathers, we have been hearing that he was going to come. We've got to lift up our heads because this is our finest hour. We are at our best, ladies and gentlemen, in tough times. Let me say it again. We're at our best in tough times. Let me say this about this church, because my dad was used by God to build a foundation under this church. And I'm not talking about the concrete that you're on. That is unshakable. I have watched this old ship of Zion sail through the most troubled waters imaginable. I've watched it sail through storms that were immeasurable. And yet here we are, three generations of leadership later, still sailing the same direction with the same intention. We are at our best in tough times. We are at our best. We need to lift up our heads and rejoice for our redemption draws nigh. We need to thrive in the atmosphere of spiritual conflict, understanding that our God wins in the end. I am not suggesting that any of you go out and talk smack, but I am suggesting that you be extremely confident. Let me tell you, the devil did his best with Jesus, and he got embarrassed every time, every single time. And he knows that his days are numbered. We need to lift up our heads and we need to rejoice because our redemption draweth nigh. And as a kid, I loved this gospel group. They weren't really gospel. They were kind of contemporary gospel called the Imperials. And they had this song. I don't know who wrote it, but these are the lyrics to the song. It won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. It won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home. It won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. We're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon. You see, the fact is, we win, we win, we win, because we are the remnant of God. We must lift up our heads and understand these are not the most frightening times in human history. They're the most exciting times in human history. These are not the most discouraging times in human history. They're the most encouraging times in human history. We are not looking back. We're not looking to the side. We are looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. Give the Lord praise if you know it's the truth. Would you all stand, please? Hallelujah. Well, I told you, didn't I? It would be a warning. And I hope you got the warning from God. But I also told you you would be encouraged. And I believe that you're going to be encouraged throughout this week. God is going to use you in a mighty and a significant way. We got to clean up. Got to clean up. Got to stand up. We got to look up. Now, my friend, this is what I give to you as a gift. Please hear me. If you need to clean some things up, and you'll say, Pastor Denny, I'm convicted about something in my life, and I just feel that in view of what's happening in the world, and knowing what I know, I just want to clean some things up in my life. And you say, I want to be radical about that commitment to the Lord to clean up some things. I want His grace, His blood, His Holy Spirit to do the work because I can. You're right, you can. He can, though, and He will. But He waits for your permission. Isn't that ironic? He waits for your permission to clean some things up. You'll say, I need to clean up today. I'm better than this because God has visited me in a powerful way. I know Him. I shouldn't be living on the edge in any way, not in any way. Then I want you just to come and stand here in the front of this place. God is going to so graciously put His arms around you. He will not judge you. He will not judge you. He will not in any way condemn you. I can tell you this will be a great moment for you. And some of you that are maybe the most spiritual in this place, some of you that are the maybe even leaders, but God's just spoken to you about some things that are going on, maybe some attitudes and points of view that you have that have been rocking your world. Come on, come clean up in the name of the Lord. You had an invitation. Remember, you had an invitation to clean up before it's too late. Come clean up in the name of the Lord. What are we going to do to clean? We're just going to surrender our hearts. We're just going to say, Lord God, I know I'm not living right. I'm ready for You to do a work in me. I'm ready for You to do a work in me. Come on, everybody that needs to clean up, come forward and stand here in the name of the Lord. Isn't this great? We get to do this. And I said, isn't this great? I said, isn't this great? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You know, let me tell you something about our Lord Jesus. When you walk down here, He's not saying, oh, yes, there's my little pet. They probably have a little dust over in the corner of their heart that they're trying to deal with. And then He looks at somebody else and says, phew, I don't even know if I can forgive that this morning in one morning. I mean, that's real big sin. There's no big sin and little sin. Did you hear me? I said there's not any big sin and little sin. There's not any really big disobedience and small disobedience, my friend. We just want to be right with God because we really know Him. And you know what? We are once saved, always saved. You say, what are you talking about? You said, no, I didn't say that. I said, if you give your life to Jesus and you walk with Him, guess what? You are once saved, always saved. Did you hear that? It just comes through you being in obedience, loving Him, loving Him. He's not going to kick you out of the family if you go through a tough time. But you also are not going to mock Him. You're not going to mock Him. So what God's saying is this. Come on down here and clean up. Come on down here. Now, we need to stand up. You say, Pastor Denny, I need more power in me to be able to take a stand. You say, I have been afraid with all this stuff flying around all over. Come on forward. Come on forward and stand, right? If you need to stand up, you need to stand for the Lord. You need to look up. You say, I'm in torment because of what's going on in the world. You say, maybe you're watching, listen to me, you might be watching too much Fox News. I'm going to tell you something. Those boys on Fox, they can disturb me. I can be having a great day And man, I can go to bed mad, chewing on my pillow, just mad. Just going, I can't believe it. What they did, what? What in the, hey, what God wants you to do is that he wants you to look up. Did you hear me? He wants you to look up. He wants you to live in joy. We are supposed to live in joy. Come right now. I'm going to pray for all of you one, just in one prayer. God's going to do a great work. Come right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You know that worry? I'm going to tell you ladies something that will make you quit worrying. This is going to solve it for you today. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you. Worrying will make you look old. You better stop it. Every one of us right now lift our hands to the Lord. All of us lift our hands to the Lord. Here's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to thank God for this place. And I want you, everybody, to lift their hands. And I want you to pray this prayer with me from your heart. Jesus, thank you that there's still a place in Shreveport, Louisiana, and Bossier City, where there are altars where we can sense you and feel your presence. Thank you for all that you are doing in this place to provide a way for us to be cleansed. Now lift your hands, and I want you to express your sorrow to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I've let you down. I've hurt you. It's not been anything or anybody else. It's been, Lord, I've hurt you. And just say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. And God's so good, isn't he? Wow, there's change taking place at this altar. It's just such reassurance. God is not mad at you. Let me say it again. You can't make God mad at you. He adores you, but he doesn't want that sin to grow in you and become something terminal. Doesn't want it to happen. So right now, he's calling you. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. It's just so good, Lord, to see what you're doing. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And this is what we're going to do is we lift our hands to the Lord. We're going to tell him we need him. We're going to tell him we need him. I don't know how many times I tell my wife I love her during a day. But I can tell you it's every day and it's all day long, because that's what I have in my heart. If we love the Lord, then we should say it all day long. Just walking to and from classes and school, kids. Just, Lord, I love you. My dad was like that. Everywhere we went, I would hear him saying, oh, Lord, I love you. And then he would speak some French words that were expressing his love. He just had this overflow. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands right now. This is God's moment. And Lord, this is what I pray. I pray that you will heal your people. I pray that you will encourage your people. I pray that you will restore your people. I pray that you will cleanse your people. I pray that this day, this moment, will be like no other. Lord, thank you for the assurance, for the assurance. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Put your hand on your chest and just say, thank you for loving me, Jesus. Thank you that your love never falters. Your love never changes. I love you. I love you, Jesus. With all my heart, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. There's an old song. I don't think you know it. But you can follow me on anything. So here we go. Never. Lower key. Never. There's an old song back in the Jesus movement that we used to sing. Never the same again. No, I won't be the same again. Since the moment I met Jesus, new life for me began. And I won't be the same again. You're not going to be the same. Hallelujah. And we're going to go from glory to glory, aren't we? Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, let's one more time. Let's just make the devil mad after he thinks he's scared us all to death with all those bombs. We're right now going to make him so mad because we're going to give this huge applause and shout to the Lord to just culminate this ministry time. Everybody, put your hands together and let's give the Lord praise.
Thank you for connecting with us today. The first step to a new life is receiving the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repeat this after me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me. I ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Whether you committed your life to Jesus for the first time today or are already on your journey of faith, we would love to stay connected with you. Please visit scchurch.com and follow SC Church on all social media platforms. And remember, the best is yet to come.